From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida, you are listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.
All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Striking Corner podcast. I am, of course, your host, Eric Rivera. And with me, as always, is my good friend, Vinny Scotto. What is going on, man?
What's up, bud?
Everything good?
Wonderful.
Yeah, man. So actually, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. I know you had the congrats on the success of the YDL tournament, man.
Yeah, man. It was definitely a good event. A little hectic.
Yeah,
but it was good.
Yeah, man, I saw some pictures from it. You were in Staten Island, the newspaper. What was it, like the online newspaper or something?
Yeah, Staten Island Advance.
Awesome.
We had over 100 kids that competed. We had probably something like 250 spectators, maybe more. I don't know. It was a little hectic. So, but there was definitely close to between 400 and 500 people at the event. It was cool.
Yeah. I saw pictures, or you know, a lot of the gyms came through, looks like, and people were happy and competing. And I mean, how did you feel overall of like what you saw, the level, the kids competing, everything?
I mean, to be honest, I really didn't get a chance to sit and watch one bout. Like, I caught glimpses of here and there, but
yeah,
I was just worried about which one was going into which ring next.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure managing it or being the promoter is a totally different thing. And that was like your first time doing it. So how was that experience, man?
No, I mean, it wasn't bad at all. It was a little hectic. I didn't know what to expect at first, but then got into a little bit of a flow and it went pretty smooth. I mean, it wasn't smooth for me at all. I was like a chicken without a head, but everyone else, like all the feedback I got from everyone said that it was pretty smooth. So I was happy about that.
Nice, man. Nice. All right, man. Well, so congrats on that. And, you know, we'll get into our social media here. So you guys can always listen to the Striking Corner or check out strikingcorner.com is our main website. All our episodes are there. We are, of course, available on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, on iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and pretty much we're all everywhere that you can find podcasts. We're there. Our social media, Instagram is where we're most active, at Striking Corner, Twitter at Striking Corner, and on Facebook at Striking Corner. My personal Instagram is EricRivera_TSC. And Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
You can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, whichever you choose, which is Vinny Scotto.
Awesome, man. We always do our gym shout outs. And today's episode is actually brought to you by Florida Kickboxing Academy. That is FKA, our good friends here in my neck of the woods. They're in Riviera Beach, Florida, near West Palm Beach. Asa Ten Pal, the head coach there. Florida Kickboxing Academy is located at 7655 Enterprise Drive, Suite A6. That's like, once again, in Riviera Beach, Florida, zip code 33404. The owner is, of course, Asa Ten Pal. He is also the coach there, along with Marek Dadas, Jason Somchai, and Muay Thai Kids is taught by Asa as well. Joe Muller, Taylor Matsukas, and their jiu-jitsu there. The coach for both adults and kids is Michael Spalholtz. So if you guys are ever in the Riviera Beach area, West Palm, and want to train with you know, very, very talented kickboxing squad and Muay Thai team, check out Florida Kickboxing Academy. And we, as always, are very happy to have them as sponsors and supporting the show. Without further ado, guys, we actually have a very cool guest on the podcast. She is a very talented fighter out of California. She trains out of Boxing Works in Hermosa Beach, California, or, well, in Torrance, California now. And, you know, she's a very talented young fighter who I am sure we're going to see a lot more of. And, you know, it was a pleasure talking to her, and we have her, you know, on the podcast today. Her name is Jackie Boonton. So we will be right back with the episode with Jackie. Thank you.
The Striking Corner.
And hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Striking Corner. As we had mentioned at the beginning of the show, today's guest is extra special. She is all the way from California. And I say that because we're on the East Coast and she is right now on West Coast time. She is out of Boxing Works in Torrance, California. Is that correct? Is that where it is?
Correct, Torrance.
Yeah, so she is out of Boxing Works in Torrance, California. Awesome amateur fighter, soon to go pro. It is none other than Jackie Boonton. What is going on?
Hello, thank you for having me, guys.
Oh no, we're excited to have you. You know, we've had a lot of your teammates on the show. Your coach has been on the show, so you know, we're really, really happy to have you finally on the show. I've actually known about you fighting for quite some time, but I'll bring that up in a little bit. But how's everything going? I mean, I know there's some great news, and we'll get into that. But I know, do you wanna tell everyone what's going on? I know you got a kind of some big news that you announced on your social media.
Yeah, so it's probably like a couple weeks ago. I'm really excited to announce that I am signed to ONE Championship. It is a 2-year contract. Nice. That's pretty much all the details I have for now, but it's
yeah,
like great news to start with.
When you'll be making your first appearance?
No details on that yet. Hopefully soon, though.
yeah. So you were telling us off air a little bit because, you know, I was under the impression, you know, that you were going to go pro, because apparently you were going to go pro recently at a fight there. And was it going to be in California? Is that what it was? And then it fell through?
Yeah, it was for WCK in San Diego. It would have been my first professional fight, but wasn't able to fight. The day of weigh-ins, we were told, pretty much due to my medicals, a nurse may have messed up, or she did mess up on my medicals, leading me not to be cleared by the commission, and the rest is downhill from there. But at the end of the day, it's all good because I got news I was signed to ONE.
That works.
ONE win, right?
So it wasn't all bad news. You actually got some good news out of all that anyway. But yeah, I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, that's kind of, you know, we've actually, like I said, I've known about you for quite some time, Jackie. Obviously, you come from a solid team. We love Brian Popejoy. We love, obviously, the Boxing Works family that you guys have there. Janet Todd doing some amazing things, your teammate. We actually, you know, we worked with a friend of yours. He trained with you for a while too, which was Victor Alvarez. He's kind of a friend of ours. We've used him for photos and things like that. So, you know, we've had a lot of connection with you guys. And, you know, the funny story is that I wanted to bring up was, so a couple years, well, not even a couple years ago, this is going on maybe 8 years ago now. So 2011, I attended the TBA Classic, or what was called the time TBA Classic in Iowa. And I was fighting at that time there. And it was actually the first time I think I met Popejoy in person. And I was training in the back, you know, with my teammates and a couple people from Real Fighters Gym, which is our good friend Eric Haycraft's gym in Kentucky. And so I see this little girl lighting up the pads with Popejoy. And I was like, damn, man, this girl's really, really good. And I was really, like, super impressed. And I honestly couldn't wait to go out there and see, you know, you perform, because I was like, who is this girl? You know, you were a firecracker. And then I saw you go out there and you ended up, you know, you fought a couple times, obviously, but you ended up winning that tournament.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first time. And then I've seen you come up since then. And I think, I mean, how old are you now? Because that was 2011.
Yeah, I'm 22 now.
Yeah.
So it's been some time.
Yeah. Crazy though, wow. Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of like you were, what, like 12, 13?
I was 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's this little girl killing it back there, yo. And then, so that's kind of how I known about you. And it's crazy to see how far you've come. And I've obviously followed your team super, super closely because, like I said, we love Brian and the whole Boxing Works familia, as you guys call it. So, But anyway, so what I want to get into now, Jackie, is obviously one of the things that a lot of people want to know, and we always like to talk about when we invite, you know, up-and-coming fighters and established fighters that are representing the United States in Muay Thai. Since we have listeners that are coming into the sport that are new, that are just getting acquainted and trying to learn more about the sport. And I think it's what's always really interesting is for each person to tell their story about how they found Muay Thai. Because, you know, it's not like Muay Thai is this huge sport in America that everybody can just, you know, easily find. It's getting bigger. But, you know, even when you started fighting, it was you know, 8 years ago or so. It wasn't that popular. How did you discover Muay Thai? How was your journey into the sport? How did it begin?
Yeah, so I was 11 years old and I always wanted to do martial arts. Mm-hmm. Kind of figured that out around like 10 or 11. I just wasn't sure what I wanted to do. My brother-in-law, he was training Muay Thai at the time. So he showed me that, like a couple moves, and I was like, this is actually really cool, really interesting to learn. So I lived in the South Bay my whole life, so when he showed me those names, I pretty much just Googled the closest Muay Thai gym near me. And at the time, Boxing Works was in Hermosa Beach, so had my mom drive me all the way to Hermosa, and the rest is history. So I've been with Boxing Works and Brian since then.
Awesome. And so you fell in love with it. You said you liked it from the beginning. Were you always an athletic kid? Were you doing a lot of anything in school or anything like that? Or was this your first?
Nothing. Like, I wasn't in any sports team in school, but I was a very like athletic kid. I'd say I'd always like to be outside. Mm-hmm. I wasn't on a soccer team, but I'd like play soccer with my friends. I'd like longboard, skateboard, kind of like a tomboy growing up. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what led my direction into martial arts also.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, very cool. Very cool. So when you first, was there any other martial art? Because you said you were interested in martial arts. Was there any other martial art that interested you? Or was it like you were interested in the martial arts and then you found Muay Thai and that one stuck? Or did you try anything else before that?
No, I was interested in martial arts, and then I found Muay Thai kind of first, and that one definitely stuck with me. I of course knew about like karate, taekwondo, you know, the most popular ones, especially here, I guess. But there's no disrespect to it, but I don't know. And when I was younger, when I saw Muay Thai, I was like, wow, this is really straightforward. Like, they're straight punching you, kicking you. So that's what kind of drew me in also.
Cool.
Did you try the other ones also?
I didn't. I just kind of saw it. I was like, eh. And I walked into Boxing Works and I was like, I think this is it, Mom. Like, you got to sign me up.
Yeah. So you said you were a very active kid, obviously, you know, doing sports, you know, not involved in a sports team or anything like that. You know, so a lot of people look at fighting, you know, especially parents, they look at fighting and, you know, sometimes for a young kid and they might not be that interested in it. You know, obviously there's always the, you know, fighting can be sort of considered it's kind of a boys club or, you know, sometimes. So what was the response by your, you know, like you said, your mom brought you in that, how did she feel when she realized like her daughter wanted a box, wanted to do Muay Thai.
Yeah, she was like taken back by it a bit just because, you know, it's a combat sport.
Yeah.
But the idea of doing martial arts didn't really surprise her because, like I said, I was kind of like a tomboy growing up. Mm-hmm. So she's like, okay, it kind of makes sense. Like, just for fun, let her try it out. Yeah. I don't think she knew at the time where I'd take it though.
And she how does she feel about it now?
She's super proud of me now. Like, it was probably like in high school, there was some doubts, but I'm cool. Like I said, I do what I want and I show her and you know, they're all super proud of me, super supportive about it. So
awesome. Yeah. I mean, well, why wouldn't they be? You've been doing exceptionally well in the sport for some time now. And I mean, so, you know, so talk me through how you got. So obviously you got into Muay Thai, and obviously Brian is somebody who is very, very well versed in the sport. He's very, very, you know, he's been competitive. He's fought himself, you know, so he knew the ins and outs of how to get into competing. I mean, was that something that you were ever interested in at first? Did you first jump into it for that, or were you just going in there because you liked Muay Thai and you wanted to learn martial arts?
I had no intentions of competing, fighting at all, like at all. I just wanted to learn the sport and just kind of do it as a hobby, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did the conversation begin when you decided, was it Brian that convinced you, or did you kind of go up to Brian and say, you know what, I think it's time?
No, you know, like I'm kind of the same now. Like I could be kind of quiet, but especially when I was really young, training with Brian, he'd always joke like he can't tell if I liked it or not, just because I would not say a single word, but I'd show up to every class still. Obviously really liked it, but pretty much no. So we had, at the time when we were in Hermosa, we had one of the instructors, Daryl. He's not with us anymore, but I mean, he's not working at the gym anymore. Mm-hmm. But he actually was the one who brought it up. It's like, oh, have you ever thought about competing? And I was like, no, not really. But then I went home that day and I kind of thought about it more. And I was like, oh, no, this kind of be, you know, maybe be a little challenge, might be fun. And then I brought it up to Brian and he was like, yeah, I mean, if you're up for it, like put in the work. And he brought up the Iowa tournament. So
yeah,
that's how that all started.
So Iowa was it the first time you fought?
Yeah.
Oh,
when
awesome.
When you were there.
Oh, really?
Back in 2011. Yeah, that was my first two fights over there.
Damn.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. I was like, oh, this is a huge tournament. Like, I'm going all the way to Iowa. I've never been to Iowa. I mean, it's just like, you know, like your first fight.
No disrespect to Pam and Pete, who we love dearly. But I mean, there's really no reason to go to Iowa aside from that tournament.
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
But yeah, no, and it's funny that you say that. You know, it's funny that you were talking about how Brian couldn't tell that you were, you know, whether you liked it or not, or what was going on. Because I remember when I saw you, you were just either laser focused or scared shitless, but you were just completely had one face on the entire time. So I just thought you were super badass because you were like this little kid. You were just this little kid that looked like that had no emotion, and you were killing it in the ring. So it looked awesome.
You know, it's funny. Like I really don't try to be that way. I've just always been like that. At 22 years old, I'm still the same way. So
really?
When you see me next, I'll have the same look probably.
So like when you get when you get focused, you're straight focused. Like you don't.
Yeah. Super focused.
Oh,
I mean, just even in general, I'm just kind of a really easygoing person. So,
So you don't wear, you don't kind of like wear your emotions on your sleeve in a way. And when you're fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. When I'm fighting, and I mean, in life in general, I don't.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I mean, I think it works it's awesome to hear that, you know, that when I saw you at that tournament, that was actually your first couple of fights. And then, so, I mean, you walk away from that tournament, which is a big tournament. Like you said, it's one of the, I mean, it is probably to me one of the best Muay Thai tournaments in the United States.
Definitely.
So you walk away from that one a winner. And did that kind of cement your love to like, this is what I'm going to do? Or how did you feel after that?
No, that definitely kind of solidified what I wanted to do with the sport.
Yeah.
It kind of took it from taking this fight just for fun to like, oh, I could actually, you know, take this sport somewhere if I really wanted it, which at the time I did and I still do. So
yeah.
Really grateful for that.
How long after that tournament when did you compete again after that?
I can't remember. It was less than like half a year though, I want to say.
So you went right back into it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good.
No, yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Brian will try to keep you as active as possible. I mean, from your experience, I mean, you've been kind of like, since you've been doing it for quite some time and you did it as a kid, talk to us a little bit about the California scene, I guess. I mean, in that sense, was it, and especially at somebody, for somebody your age at that time when you started competing, has Brian and you guys, have you guys found it, was it difficult for you to compete regularly or no?
No, not for me. I mean, definitely when I first started competing, I was able to get fights here and there. And I want to say it wasn't until probably last year I kind of had a little lull in it.
Yeah.
And like opportunities and stuff. But I mean, up until from when I had my first fight till now, I didn't really have any problems finding fights.
Mm-hmm. How many fights do you have now?
25 now.
25. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because of what I'm saying, I mean, and I think that's, I guess that kind of happens too. I mean, at least when I was in the sport, and then you kind of hear that from other people, whether it's in New York where Vinny is, or here in Florida where I am, or in, you know, in the Midwest, in California, it's kind of like the more you, especially in amateur, the higher up you get in the numbers of, let's say, you, wins in the win column and just overall fights, less and less people kind of want to face you.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty much the end of Janet's amateur career.
Yeah,
kind of like hard for her to find fights.
Yeah, and was that one of the reasons you guys decided to turn pro? Were you finding it difficult, or did you just feel it was time?
Well, I, you know, like when I started taking fighting seriously, I knew I wanted to become pro, but I never really, like, Brian knew that. I never really told him, like, okay, after this fight, when is it, you know? Yeah. I was kind of just waiting on his word. And, yeah, he kind of just brought it up, and I was like, okay, let's do it.
Let's go, bro. All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Nice. Nice. I mean, so talk to me a little bit about, you know, who is Jackie outside of fighting then? I mean, is it fighting, everything you do? Is that like, obviously, is that like, you know, you want to do that, you want to focus on it professionally. But right now we know in the United States, it's not something that can totally, you know, it's not like you make bank out of fighting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, so what are you doing? What have you been doing to, I guess, you're going to school? How do you balance, you know, your life and training?
Right now, I'm actually not in school. I'm not enrolled in college right now. I'm kind of just taking fighting, see where I can take it.
Okay.
But I'm just working and training right now, really.
Awesome. So you you're full on. All right.
Full on. Dedicated.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. So I, like you said, we had one championship. You don't know when this fight is going to take place. But how did that come about? I mean, you know, how did that call come to you? How did it happen?
Yeah.
Let us know.
It's an interesting story. It's like the week of my last fight, when I was supposed to fight October 19th, mm-hmm. like the middle of that week, a Gloria promoter hit up Brian and was actually offering a contract for me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, really cool. But Brian already knew, like, I want to go on one. Like, that was my goal, to end up on one.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian kind of messaged one of his contacts from one, gave them my info, and probably like in a couple of days, they're like, all right, sent over the contract. So it was really cool. Yeah.
And now you get to stay in Muay Thai and not go to
kickboxing. Yeah, I get to stay in Muay Thai.
Yeah, no, and that's the cool thing too, is the one is just doing some incredible things, and obviously, you know, you having your teammate there, Janet.
Oh yeah, doing really awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, you have that experience too. I mean, are you guys training consistently together? Do you guys train? Is she the person that you're usually in the gym with, training with, or how is that working?
I mean
she's traveling a lot now, you know.
Yeah, but you know, when she's not out of the country for the fights, it's us and the girls in the gym Monday through Saturday, really.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Training to Britney Spears.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We just let her change the station. Like, we don't even bother to stop her.
So she has to, what is she has? She has to do pop. It has to be pop.
Oh, it's always like Spice Girls, Pandora. I like Michael Jackson. The Michael Jacksons are good, a good neutral one. Yeah. Or we have some neutral stations where we all agree on.
Oh, okay.
But you know, when it's close to the fight, no, it's Spice Girls or Britney. Yeah. Nice.
You know, instead of using Pandora, you guys should try using the iHeartRadio app. No, I'm just joking. Because I work for iHeart. My bad.
Okay. Just slip that in there.
Yeah. No, just like, yeah, give us some. Give us some numbers. But no, yeah. So you guys have been training. I mean, it's so amazing to me because one of the things that I've seen, and I've talked to a lot of people around the country, and it's really like for Boxing Works, you guys have such a cool, in a lot of ways, you know, this, when we talk about the growth of women's Muay Thai, one of the big names that comes up obviously is Janet, right? You know, she's been such a, I guess, kind of, I don't want to say like poster child, but it's kind of like the term people use, you know, for women's Muay Thai in America. She's been, she's been one of them.
She's American Muay Thai.
Yeah. You know, she's been that one that's kind of been, carrying the torch, not only for American Muay Thai, but women's Muay Thai, and doing some big things. But the one thing I love about, Boxing Works is that I see you guys have such a like tight knit group. And the one thing is too, there's a lot of quality. You have a lot of quality women fighters coming out of that gym. I mean, yourself, Janet. I think Angie is the other one that you guys have, or she was kind of fights with you guys. Angela.
Angela? No, Angela. April.
April. That's her
name.
April.
Yeah. We have April and Kaya.
Yeah. So I mean, like that's kind of, because when I saw, you know, I follow Brian on his Instagram and then on the Boxing Works Instagram. And I always love watching you guys do pad work and everything. So it's, you know, so I see, you know, you guys have such a great group. And I mean, is that just happenstance? It just happened. I mean, that it turned out that you guys, you got a group together and it's been like, you guys are just super, super talented and working together and getting, you know, finding fights. And it must be great to have that sort of team to build on. To train with.
I'm always grateful for them, and it's like it's a funny story because like it wasn't intentional with all the women, you know, coming to Boxing Works, and again all the women fighting from Boxing Works. It kind of just happened.
Yeah.
And like when I was like 18, right, like my senior year, I started training with Janet more because she kind of started picking up fighting more consistently when I was 18, I think, and. That's when I started picking up fighting again because I had like a little hiatus in high school, a 2-year hiatus. And so it started with us training, and then, you know, more girls came in, and it was just simple, really. You put in the work, you get better, and it's just even better to do when you have a group of good people to do it with.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's kind of, I remember asking Brian about it and Janet. It was just kind of like... interesting how it's kind of that serendipitous occasion where it just happens to be that, you know, there's a bunch of female fighters that happen to, you know, have talent and do really well, and they just kind of all sort of gravitated to the same gym. Because I mean, from like talking to Brian, I mean, when you arrived at Boxing Works, was there a lot of female fighters or no?
I was too young. I don't even think there was any female fighters at the time, and really like it wasn't until maybe 2 years after I started training, I had like one woman partner.
Yeah.
It was a fighter too, but you know, even when I was like in my teen years, it was really me and like the older men in class and some women here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which is how most gyms are.
Yeah, I know. I keep forgetting that. I'm like,
yeah,
so used to having all the girls here. So I keep saying like super grateful to have
But that's
them.
Probably why you guys have all been so successful as well, because you have training partners.
Yeah, definitely.
Most of the time women just have to spar with men and only get to train with men. They don't get to train with people their size and move like them. So it's probably helped with the success you guys have.
Yeah. Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, Vinny, you know, Vinny has his own gym. And when I was teaching at a gym down here in Florida, I remember we had a pretty solid group of girls, and it just helps, because the one thing I was like, you know, I didn't want to have the one thing you kind of always, or at least a lot of times when you're running a gym, you want to avoid is it just being like a straight up, you know, jocks gym, or people are afraid to go in there because everyone's just hitting the pads hardcore and they're kind of intimidated by it. So, you know, we had a good group of women and women fighters and stuff like that.
See, there you go saying stupid stuff again.
What do you mean? What did I say?
Are you trying to say that women don't hit pads hard?
What are you talking about? I didn't say anything. I did not say that at all.
I know you didn't mean it. I'm just fucking his balls.
But no, we had, and then there was, because, you know, Jose's gym, which is my coach's gym, like, I remember we didn't have any women in that gym, barely, because it was just, but it was also because it's just fucking run down and dirty for a while. People just did not want to go in there. But it was always
it's
like,
better now, though.
It's yeah, better now. It's better now. It's better now for sure. But yeah, I mean, I just, I see things like that, like at Boxing Works, and it's just awesome to see the success that you guys have had and kind of how you, like I said, once again, kind of carrying the torch for women's Muay Thai and everything. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you, Jackie, is, you know, since you, I mean, you've been in it, it's cool that you've been in the sport for quite some time and actually took it on from such a young age, you know, and like you said right now, I mean, you're really 20, you're only 22 right now. You're still very young in the game, but you've seen so much happen. And especially like you're saying, you saw Janet's progression from 18 to where she is now. And just, you know, the sport in California, and Brian's done so much for the sport. So, you know, you've seen his success. I mean, how do you feel about, you know, give us your perspective about, you know, Muay Thai in the United States and how it's, you know, how you feel about this growth and where you want to take it. I know you want to go, you know, further and further in your career. So just, you know, let us know what your perspective is on the growth that you've been seeing right now with it.
Yeah, so like, I mean, speaking at least when I first started it, maybe it could have been I wasn't following any fighters, you know, I wasn't really familiar with any, but I really didn't know a lot of female fighters when I was essentially starting it really young. It wasn't until like high school I started, like, you know, like Tiffany Mansuse was like pretty big. She still is big, but she was one of the main ones. Like, oh, like, this girl's blowing up. She's from the States. She actually came to BoxRec a few times to train. So I was like, this is really cool. Like, there's other women from my area that is doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's growing. It's not where we'd like it to be, but it's growing slowly but surely.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and have you competed at all in like international tournaments?
I did the Pan Ams last year in Argentina.
Okay.
And what else? I mean, I fought in Canada. I know that's still international, but
yeah. No, I was just being saying, because, like, you know, with the growth of with USMF and, you know, Brian, his involvement in that, and then the IFMAs and everything like that. I know Janet's gone to those. And then obviously you said you went to the Pan Ams and things like that. So because I just think, like, those, when you go there, I mean, when you go there, and when we've seen the level of like how other countries are taking the sport, you know, you really realize that, you know, we're there, we're up there, and we're still trying to climb up there to kind of get on the same level as a lot of these, you know, countries that have been experienced in a long time fighting at that level. And here it's kind of been, you know, I think, and I don't know, you're in California, which I know sometimes I hear from our friends in California that there's a mess with how California is run when it comes to Muay Thai. There are things that are good and bad about it. Cause I know, I mean, you guys are pretty active, but at the same time, there's a lot of kind of red tape to get around in order to compete.
Yeah. You know, like, a lot of people complain about the inconsistency with judging and just, mm-hmm. not enough events going on. I mean, luckily where I'm at, like, at least LA, there's events for amateurs like every month. So
yeah,
if you're amateur, I feel like you're pretty good to get a fight down in the West Coast.
The inconsistency of officiating is everywhere, though.
Yeah,
that's not just California. That's everywhere right now.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And that's what I think it is. I mean, that's like you were saying, you know, that it's not necessarily where we want it to be. And I'm pretty sure you hear that, you know, from your coach all the time, because Brian obviously is a stickler, and he's, you know, one of the guys we look up to a lot as kind of the, you know, the coaches that are, you know, really teaching and representing Muay Thai well here in the States. There's those inconsistencies in figuring out, you know, what some judges are looking at, because they're obviously not judging Muay Thai correctly. But, you know, you have those, you know, and I think it comes down to the same thing we've talked a lot about on these podcasts is, you know, there's Vinny used that word the other day. You said the alphabet soup of organizations that there are, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just so many different ones, and, you know, and then they call Muay Thai different things, whether it's modified Muay Thai or Muay Thai, or, you know, what I call like, yeah, leg kick rules or oriental rules. Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of ones. There's like oriental rules, leg kick rules, K1, Glory. I mean, there's a bunch of different ones. Cause like when Glory became popular, it was like Glory rules, but then they called it K1 rules before. And then, but K1's modified a bunch of times, you know? So it's just always this sort of, and I think that's what happened when, it's cool to see with the organization of USMF and everything, where they're trying to standardize, or at least not standardize, it's just get on par with the way they're judging Muay Thai overseas, is to, you know, understand like that the ways we've been judging it in all these different places is not the way it should be done. There's just this, it's funny because there's like this, there's this one consistent way that it should be judged, and we just haven't been doing that here, you know? Yeah. And I think it's a, you know, and it's awesome for you. You have that benefit that you just kind of always been kind of riding with the guy who knows the way it's going to be scored.
Yeah, I'm so lucky for that.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure you guys run into, you know, you've had your fights and you run into those issues, because while you're going to fight the style, you know, that Brian obviously, you know, teaches at his gym, and he looks at Muay Thai a certain way, which is the correct way of fighting Muay Thai. And I love the style that Boxing Works has. I'm pretty sure you guys have run into issues where you're like, I have no idea what that judge was looking at, you know?
Yeah, I've had a couple fights like that. And even, I mean, it's for every fight, Brian always says the same thing. Like, obviously you got to be really active, make it super clear that you're the one scoring. Mm-hmm. But even like day of the fight, yeah, I've had some fights where Brian would like look at some of the judges and be like, okay, I already know this guy's going to be like, you know, kind of kickboxing style, so be heavy with this, yada, yada, yada. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's frustrating that we have to do that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like you have to change your entire game plan based on who's judging the fight.
Yeah.
For sure.
A lot of inconsistency.
So now with one coming up, and you said, you know, you had no fight announcement yet, is there anyone that you would like to fight that's in your division?
Hard to say, just because my division's fairly new. I don't know exactly when they started it, but like maybe in the summer. Okay. I forget the exact kilos, but it's like pounds, like maybe 124 point something pounds, I think. I know Amber's there. I fought Amber like 2 years ago.
Amber Kitchen?
Amber Kitchen, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I really don't know who else is in the division. I don't know if Iman Barlow will be in that division.
Iman I mean, I just think One's doing some amazing stuff. Like right now.
Yeah, One's where it's at.
Yeah, One's where it's at, man, because it's just so amazing to see like all the people. Like you keep on getting the, you know, just keep on seeing the people that are signing up, and you're just like, damn, you know, or the people that are getting, you know, drafted into One. And it's just like, it's where everybody's at, whether you're kind of like starting your career and trying to get up there and climb up the ranks, or the ones that are the, you know, the guys that dominate those ranks, or the females that dominate their rank, they're there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what's just so cool to see.
I just like that they're doing Muay Thai and they're not doing kickboxing like everyone else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's one of the good things too, but I just think like all around too, even with kickboxing, cause you have Glory and everything like that, but that opportunity to mix it up in the ring when the same thing, like where you have either Muay Thai or kickboxing. Janet just fought, she fought a kickboxing bout recently. Not the last one she did, but she's fought a kickboxing
bout. She's fought a couple of kickboxing bouts for one, yeah.
Yeah. And is that something that, I mean, well, I'm pretty sure you guys have had a fight, everything that comes your way, but is that something that you're, obviously you want to stick with Muay Thai, but if kickboxing fights come your way, you're not planning on turning them down, I'm sure.
Oh no, let's do it. Kickboxing and Muay Thai, totally fine.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to look here at one, if they had like who's in your division, but it just gives like the list of everybody that's in one. It doesn't. Yeah, so I'm not really seeing the division for you, but you know, Amber Kitchen, I mean, Iman Barlow, I don't know, she might be your same weight class, but I don't know where she's fighting at now.
Yeah.
But that'd be, I mean, yours got, there's some, that's a great thing. It's just some solid people, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, besides one, I mean, now that you know that you're going to one and everything like that, I mean, what is the future hold for Jackie?
Big question, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd love to write up the Muay Thai career. Obviously, would love to be a world champion, just as much success as I can take it. But, I mean, I really don't know. I like to live in the present.
Good answer.
No, but I started teaching little like Muay Thai classes here and there about a year ago. And I was like, oh, you know, teaching is actually super fun. I really like it. And something I'd like to do in the future also.
Cool.
Okay. I'd see myself, like, even if I'm not fighting, I'd love to see myself teaching Muay Thai, just passing it along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems to me like it's cool. You know, what's cool about chatting with you about this is it's kind of, I guess, because since I saw you there in the game since at such a young age, and I was like, wow, you know, and then to still see you, because there's not many times that you would see somebody like, because I never expected that, like, say, like I was saying, joking around, but that, you know, that little girl that I saw at, you know, 13 fighting in Iowa, is where she is now, and that, you know, we'd sort of cross paths again in that sense. And yeah. and regardless of, you know, of the fact of that you know, it's been you're 22 now, like I said, you're still starting out in your career in a way, but you started so young. I think you still have seen so much, but there's still so much more that you can so you're experienced at such a young age, which is great. You know,
yeah, I've seen a lot, but I still have a lot to do.
Exactly. And I think that's really cool. And it's kind of like, and what's cool and kind of original about your story, I guess, is I don't think we've had, you know, or interviewed somebody that started, you know, one of the American fighters that we've interviewed that started, you know, that young and is still doing it. Cause it's not like you see so many people, you know, that do that. You know, like, you know, hey, this person started at 12 and then, you know, they're like in their, you know, they're in their 20s now and they're still at it and doing it as strongly, you know, and as consistently, yeah. Which is great. You know, that's we always talk about the future, obviously, too, for the USMF and everything, the future being in the youth. And that's Yeah. I mean, you're kind of one of those, even though you didn't start with that whole thing that we were talking about, like they bring up and we've brought up in conversations, which is like, you know, the youth now, the ones that are doing these youth tournaments now and where they're going to be in a few years. But you're kind of one that sort of started in that anyway, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of, without being part of that group, you are kind of a representative of how well you can do if you start that young and continue on like that.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Yeah. So that's a cool thing about your story. So
do you have anything that you would like to say to the world of Muay Thai?
You guys will see me soon on ONE Championship, and I can't wait.
Awesome. Well, you know what, Jackie, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You know, thank you for taking some time to be on the show. You know, we really appreciate it. And, you know, like I said, we've wanted to talk to you for quite some time. We've had a lot of, you know, we try to highlight a lot of the female fighters as well. And that's what we've been doing for the last few episodes as well, is kind of talking to a lot of girls in the sport. And you're one of those that are representing and doing really well. And especially now, it was a great time to have you on because, you know, this is a big deal to have you on one, and you know, you're going to be there, you know, and it's cool. I can't wait to see, you know, if you guys, if you and Janet are on the same card, you know, fighting alongside your teammate. Have you, I mean, that's another question. Have you had the opportunity to travel with her, or you haven't traveled with her?
Well, we traveled together for the Pan Ams last year to Argentina. But pretty much right before that, 2018, it was September, we went to Canada for She Fights, and we were on the same card.
Awesome.
For the Canada show. That was a fun one, too.
Cool.
Yeah, that was when, was that the fight when she fought Yumiko? Yumiko Kano?
Yeah. And that wasn't it, though.
Oh, no, it was, okay.
She fought.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. But you haven't gone to any of the one with her?
No, I did. I went to her first one when she fought Stamp in Singapore.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh, nice.
And that was kind of what solidified it. Like,
I want to be here.
They brought me out as second corner, and I was just like so used to the show, the local shows. And when I went there, I'm like, oh my, like, holy shit. Like, everybody, like, you know, they treat the athletes like superstars here. And,
That's awesome. I mean, tell us a little bit about that, because I haven't, that experience, because like, what is, I mean, we haven't had the opportunity to go to one show or see a one show live, you know, I mean, there's all this talk about one, you know, growing and the coming to the United States and possibly challenging the UFC for its, you know, hegemony, you know, and everything. So how was that experience, seeing how it is?
Yeah, so they fly out the athletes, like, you know, the week of the event. So you have one whole week wherever the show is at to do media, of course, you know, the hydration tests, all that, open workouts if they're going to be filming it. Literally, like, superstar taking your photos, you know, signing the autographs, all that stuff, interviews. But that part was obviously, like, really, really new to me. I was like, oh my gosh, Janet, you're such a superstar. Like, it's crazy. And then when it wasn't probably this whole fight day, we got to the venue, and it was like a huge venue, bunch of money and what do you call it? In what they put in the arena, and like how they, just everything, really. It's a show.
Yeah.
Easiest way to put it. It's a full on show. And you know, just hearing Chachri talked to the athletes before the fight, giving like that speech. He gives like a little speech or pep talk, I guess. And it was really intense. And I was like, whoa, like, this is crazy. Like, this is a complete different level. And, you know, like, this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
It was really refreshing to see. And like, you know, they really value martial arts and what martial arts stand for, which was also super refreshing to see. It wasn't just a bunch of smack talk. You go and fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I mean, that's why I feel like they're going to, that's why I feel like they're going to give a different, I want to see that happen, because I feel like they're going to give, you know, American fight fans, if they do come to the States, a taste of something different. Because I think a lot of people, I think there are people that gravitate towards the smack talk of the UFC, but I know there's a lot of people that are kind of turned off by it too, you know, that have gotten like, I mean, a little smack talk is fine, you know, but it's the last couple of years, it's kind of gone overboard, you know, with a lot of stuff that's happened and antics outside of the ring and outside, you know, outside of, you know, there's like actual animosity outside of the octagon, like where it's like, come on, man, you know, we're fighting. I mean, that's, it's a sport, you know, so they're kind of building up all this stuff, extracurricular stuff. And where a lot of people that we got into it for the martial arts reasons, I feel like one kind of, I said this in another podcast where I felt like they were putting the martial arts back in mixed martial arts when it came to MMA. And and then you see, like, you know, we've talked to Patrick Rivera about it and a lot of people at the round table when we did that show, and they were just discussing, you know, how they were building heroes. They were trying to build heroes for like the countries. Like if they were in the Philippines, you know, everyone's going for the Filipino fighter. If they're in Singapore, you know, it's like they're really hyping up the fighters from the local fighters from Singapore, Japan, wherever, you know? And it's kind of like you're representing your country, you know? So Janet is definitely representing the U.S. She's coming out to Britney Spears, you know? Yeah, so, you know, dancing her way to the ring, you know? So that's, it's super cool, you know? And yeah, I can understand why you're probably looking around and you're like, God, I want to be here.
Yeah, it was honestly really refreshing to see, like,
Yeah.
A whole promotion operating completely different than, you know, what we have here in America.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure, for sure. And yeah, like, so like I said, I mean, Jackie, awesome to have you on the show. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with One. You know, keep us up to date. I know you'll keep us up to date through your social media and everybody, like when the fights are going to happen, and we'll be rooting for you for sure. And, you know, congratulations on that, you know, big contract, and we wish you nothing but the best. And I know you're going to perform. I mean, so I've seen you coming up for a long time. Can't wait to see what else you got.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Hey, no worries. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the show.
All right, everybody, and that was Jackie Boonton here on the Striking Corner podcast. And as you can tell, very focused individual, very focused fighter. We can't wait to see what she has in store and what she will be bringing to One Championship. She comes from a very reputable gym, from a great coach, a great squad around her, and I know she's going to definitely do some, you know, she's going to do some work there at One Championship. Very focused on becoming, you know, household name, world champion, carrying the torch as well for women's Muay Thai and just American Muay Thai in general. So, you know, kudos to her, and also thanks to her for being on the show. Vinny, you got anything else to add? What's going on? You kind of just zoned out on me.
Yeah, I was just playing with my phone because I got tired of hearing you.
Oh, okay. All right, cool, man. As always, so refreshing. All right, guys, so that's it for this episode of the Striking Corner podcast, and you know, thank you very much for joining us for this. You know, we got nothing much else to say. You can head to strikingcorner.com is our main website, and also you guys can go to our social media, which is Instagram at Striking Corner, Twitter at Striking Corner, and Facebook at Striking Corner. As for, we're available pretty much everywhere podcasts are found, but if you guys do use Apple Podcasts, please make sure to leave a rating, make sure to leave a comment, and you know, that helps us grow in the podcasting universe. So thank you very much for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks with another great episode of the Striking Corner podcast. And that's it. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.